Okay, y'all got your insert. You got the text in front of you. We've obviously been away from this now for, I can't remember the last time we had evening service. I guess we had it after the first of the year a couple times. Of course, we dealt with the fall and we dealt with the way God had said that he would put enmity, he would put hostility between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. And I think what we're actually seeing in our passage this evening is we see that play out. We see that play out. Before I even read the text, Cain is the seed of the serpent, and by grace Abel is the seed of the woman. He is obviously, as Hebrews tells us, he gives his offering by faith, and we note how Cain reacts to that. And so I think you really see, though it's not referenced here in the text or even in the New Testament, that enmity and that hostility that will play out throughout redemptive history, it starts here. It starts here. So I'm gonna just read it as you see it in your outline. Can't remember. Okay, you've got all yours on one side. Yeah. So we've got the section from, this is interesting, right? I mean, you have New Testament commentary on a lot of different passages in the Old Testament. But this text, this account, you actually have two, from Hebrews and from John. And so I've tried to place those at the appropriate place. So we're just going to kind of take it as it comes in our reading. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of Yahweh. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to Yahweh an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And Yahweh had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. And then the writer of Hebrews, inspired of God, gives us this commentary. As he begins this great chapter on faith and how faith is illustrated in the Old Testament, saving faith, not just by Abraham, not just by David, but by so many others. And it begins here with Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And now we come back to the Genesis text. After the offerings were offered in Cain's offering, God, Yahweh, did not accept it. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Then Yahweh said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" "What have you done?" Yahweh said. "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground." And that curse is developed, meaning that it won't bear the fruit of his harvesting and so forth and so on. "When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength." Cain said to Yahweh, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden." And then again, we have John's commentary on Cain's murder of his brother. John, at least twice, maybe three times in 1 John, he repeats themes in his letter. And one of his themes is to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't mean that we're not to love outsiders, pagans, but the special emphasis is on brotherly love. And in that context, John says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." Okay, so again, I think to look at this from the flow of redemptive history, we know that the promises, the gospel promises God gave in Genesis 3, following Adam and Eve's sin, and where he says he'll put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Again, remember, if God had not done that, then in other words, what God is doing is he's intervening with grace. There should be enmity of all of the seed of Adam and Eve, all children, against God. But what God is saying is, "I'm intervening with grace so that now there will be the people of God and there will be the non-people of God, and there will be continual enmity there. And it will be through the seed of the woman, of course, that the Messiah, the Savior, comes, and that's Jesus." This section of Genesis is always intriguing to me in several ways, but in this way, there are things that are taught by implication that I think we would all want to go, "Well, tell us more." Tell us more. Is that all you're going to say? And I'll get to that in just a second. First of all, Adam and Eve, Eve gives birth to Cain, and she says, "I've gotten help from Yahweh." Cain's name seems to sound like that expression that she uses there of getting help from Yahweh. Seems to be an expression, or could be an expression, of faith, as she understands the promise of the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent, that will now, she's given birth. She's had a child. And of course, in this case, it's a boy. Happens not to be a good boy. Happens not to be of the covenant seed. But how can she know that? So, she acknowledges that gift of God. Presumably, Cain is the first child. It doesn't say, "Now Adam knew Eve and her first son was born. But I don't know of any commentators that take issue with that. That seems to make sense that these are the first two. Now, they went on to have many other children, as we know. And yet, that's not all detailed. We're told in Genesis 5 that Adam and Eve had a bunch of boys and girls. But we're not told all their names and so forth. So we have that as sort of an introduction to this new situation. Remember, what's just happened is God has removed Adam and Eve from the garden. He's removed them. And now they've given birth. And now we jump way ahead. We've given birth to Cain. We've given birth to Abel. And now it's as if Moses, the writer, inspired of God, pushes the fast forward button. And now we jump ahead 15, 20, 25 years. We don't know. But, you know, let's call it 18 years. Let's say they're young adults. I don't know. So now we've gone ahead. We've moved ahead by verse 2. And we're just given some basic job descriptions. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. And Cain, a worker of the ground. He's a farmer. So Abel is a shepherd. Cain is a farmer. Nothing wrong with either one of those jobs. Those are good ways to serve the Lord in a fallen world and in an unfallen world. To take care of the animals, to provide food, to take care of the land. Also, yes, right. No, we're not providing food with the animals yet. So to take care of the animals. See, what are we doing with those animals before we eat them? I'm not sure. Oh, well, let's see. We can make wool. We can make outfits. But anyway, so we got a farmer and we got a shepherd. And there's nothing in Scripture to indicate anything about those tasks, one being better than the other or this or that. You have crazy commentators out there that they, I guess, are so bored of life that they make up all kind of nonsense like, well, this is talking about the hostility between the shepherd and the farmer. Really? Let me look again. No, there's none of that in the text. It's not there. It's nonsense. But obviously, it's a setup. It's a preface to the key issue that comes up in verse 3 and 4. In the course of time, Cain brought to Yahweh an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, what is implied here? What is clearly implied from my understanding of Scripture, what is clearly implied is that these sacrifices that Cain and Abel are bringing are something they learned by Yahweh, probably through instruction from Adam and Eve, to do. In other words, I don't think that sinners naturally know I'm to give sacrifices and offerings to God by their fallen human nature. I don't believe that. I don't think so. I think the clear implication is just as there might have been, I think there was a reference to Yahweh's offering when he clothed Adam and Eve back in chapter 3 with animal skins. There's a veiled reference to sacrifice. No editorial comment about it. But now here it's explicitly stated that these two men are bringing sacrifices. Implication being Yahweh taught them to do that. Again, probably through Adam. But why don't we get the details? Surely their Genesis could have been just a little bit bigger book, but God could have elaborated. This is how they were to give sacrifices. I don't know why. I have no idea. But God in his wisdom said, no, you don't need that information. You don't need it. You don't need it. Now, we get plenty of that when we get to the Mosaic covenant and all that, right? And that's several thousand years later that we get the sacrificial system that God sets up for his people. Yeah, we get that then, but this is several thousand years before. When we get to Noah, Noah will offer sacrifices to Yahweh. Again, that is something that I think what implies is Yahweh had taught them something about sacrifice, but didn't give us the particulars. Now, of course, the big deal here is that God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And you see that in verse 4. Yahweh had regard for Abel's offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Some commentators will say stuff like, well, the problem is Cain didn't bring an animal offering. But we see offerings in the Old Testament that are what they're called cereal offerings. We're not bringing corn pops, but grain offerings and so forth and so on. Yeah, when I see cereal offering, I just think of a bowl of cereal. And I just think that would be very, strange to bring that to the Lord. But anyway, it's just the things you see right in your head when you read a text. But so I don't think that's the point. Sometimes the text will give us more to go on about why God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. But I don't know. To me, I wimp out. I just fall back on Hebrews. Okay? Hebrews 11:4 is the divine commentary. Granted, it comes about 4,000 years after the fact, but nonetheless, it's God's commentary on Abel, and especially Abel's faith. He brought his sacrifice by faith in Yahweh. Okay? Now, even though this commentary doesn't come until, again, 4,000 years later, we don't have to go that far into Scripture to see this kind of thing happen. Really, we see it in Genesis 15 when God promises to Abraham that he will be the one that will, God through him will bring the blessing of the covenant to mankind. And now I'm desperately searching for the quote I want. And Aaron, anytime you want to jump in there and tell me where that is, I thought it was, okay, yeah, Genesis 15, I'll pick up at verse 4. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to Abram. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, speaking to Abram, look toward heaven. Number the stars if you're able to number them. Then Yahweh said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he, that is Abram, believed Yahweh, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So here we have that explicit language, the language that Paul will use this text in Romans 4 to say, You see, the same faith we have looking back to Christ on the cross is the same faith Abraham had looking forward. And so too, it's the same faith Abel had looking forward. So Abel's sacrifice was acceptable because of the way it was brought, not what was brought. He brought the sacrifice by faith, and Cain did not. And so it was accepted. Now, let's go on. Genesis 4, 5 and following. So Cain was very angry. His face fell. Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen?" It's interesting. Yahweh is asking these questions, but we don't hear a response from Cain. Could be a response, but it's not recorded. It could be, though, that rather the reason they're not recorded, this is Yahweh using a teaching tool, you know, using the rhetorical question method of teaching. Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? So, if you do well, you will be accepted. What does that mean? Oh, that means Cain needs to work harder for his salvation. Nope. Doesn't mean that. Does the scripture teach that anywhere? No. Doesn't teach that. So it doesn't mean that here. We're not given any kind of elaboration on what it means here. I think this is illustrative of progressive revelation. You know, just as God doesn't give us the particulars about the sacrificial system of worship that he gave to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel that we wish he would have given us, but he said, no, I'm not giving that to you. So here in this discussion about Cain and his anger and why his sacrifice wasn't accepted, we're not given more details. But what we are given, we've got to try to pay attention to. God is correcting Cain and telling him to do the right thing. Isn't it interesting in verse 7? We have the first teaching in the Bible about dealing with sin. Now, I guess you could say in the curses and blessings to Adam and Eve, you've got some of it there too. But here, and if you do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. So the same word used here, its desire is for you, is the word that God says because of Eve's sin, her desire will be for her husband. And the question is, in some way, that's an inappropriate desire. That is, she desires to rule over her husband. Or is it her desire is she's too dependent on him? Well, you can take it different ways. But it's that same word here. Its desire, sin's desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Isn't that interesting that we get teaching from Yahweh to a pagan? I can call him a pagan, I think. To Cain the pagan, to Cain the murderer, about dealing with sin. Well, how did that instruction go? How did Cain receive the instruction to bring his offerings the right way and to deal properly with sin? I think the answer is Cain got an F minus. He got an F minus, right? Or is it an F plus? I'm not sure what would be better. But notice what Cain does. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Now the text doesn't say it. But why or who is Cain angry with? He's angry with Yahweh. I think that's the clear implication. He is angry with his creator. I mean, again, we don't know how this took place, right? We don't know how the dialogue between God and Adam took. Was God in somehow in, was this the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state in some kind of human form interacting with Adam? We don't know. Could be, maybe not. And here God is clearly in a dialogue with Cain, and we don't know. But imagine here, God has been speaking, correcting Cain, and Cain's response is sinful anger and hatred. So Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. So Cain was angry, I believe, the text implies. Cain is angry with Yahweh. He is unrepentant. And he then takes it out. He can't take it out on Yahweh. So he murders his brother out of sinful hatred and jealousy. Now, where did I come up with such an interpretation? Well, y'all know I'm pretty smart. No, go down to 1 John 3. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain. Now, notice this. Who was of the evil one? He's of the seed of the serpent. He's of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Here is the first Christian martyr. You see, here's the first martyr. We have a genuine believer, Abel. We have him brutally attacked and murdered by his brother. Abel wasn't calling him names. Abel wasn't mocking him. Now, there's no indication that Abel provoked Cain in any way. What is murder? Yes, it is the taking, the unjust taking of innocent human life. But it is not only that. It is an act of high treason against God. Why do we hate abortion? Because yes, indeed, it is murder, and it is murder of the most innocent, the most vulnerable. I don't mean innocent in a theological sense. I mean innocent in the way we use the word in the world. You know, these children, they haven't committed any crimes. They haven't done anything wrong. Doesn't matter the context of their birth. They had nothing to do with it. And yet they are willfully murdered day in and day out. And of course, that has continued in this country for the past 50 years. We're thankful that in many states now it doesn't take place, but it still takes place. And as awful as it is that these are acts against humankind, against children, it is also an expression of hatred toward our God. Let me conclude with this. Let me go back to where we were talking about Abel's offering by faith and how important that was. Well, if you step back a chapter in Hebrews 10, listen to these words. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, Remember, the most holy place in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, you have the temple, you have the inner part of the temple, and then you have the Holy of Holies, where the high priest enters only once a year to do sacrifice. Once a year. Therefore, brothers, since we've confidence to enter the most holy place, all of us who are in Christ, by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Brothers and sisters, we are kinsmen to our brother Abel, who even back then, thousands of years ago, had faith in Yahweh, and so we do today. Now we see it so much more clearly, but it's the same faith in the same Savior God. Let's pray. Father, this passage in a way is sobering. It is in a way to be expected. We're not surprised that wicked Cain would take out his hostility toward Yahweh and his unrepentant attitude toward his innocent brother and murder him. And yet, it's sobering too, for we live in a world full of such acts by man. We live in a world where your people are persecuted. How we long for that great day when King Jesus returns and all of his and our enemies will be put down forever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.